we're going to play those to you through the service today. Our opening praise this morning is a recording of the congregation singing here. It's Psalm 46, a psalm which I'm sure has been in your thoughts often over the past couple of weeks. God is our refuge and our strength, in straits a present aid. Therefore, although the earth remove, we will not be afraid. Psalm 46.
Stand and sing.
Consecutively through the Psalms in our Lord's Day morning meetings, and today we come to Psalm 17. Perhaps you've noticed our young people recording and broadcasting Bible reading chains over the past month on our Facebook page, and all of our Bible readings today will be read in that manner by a number of our young people. It's a good way to get a lot of them involved today. So it's over to our youth to bring us today's psalm.
Our psalm for today is Psalm number 17, a prayer of David.
Hear the right, O Lord, attend unto my cry, give ear unto my prayer, it goeth not out of fine lips.
Let my sentence come forth from thy presence, let thine eyes behold the things that are equal.
Thou hast proved mine heart, thou hast visited me in the night.
Thou hast tried me, and shalt find nothing. I am purposed that my mouth shall not transgress.
Concerning the works of men, by the word of thy lips, I have kept me from the paths of the destroyer.
Hold up my going in my path, that my footsteps slip not.
I have called upon thee, for thou wilt hear me. O God, incline thine ear unto me, and hear my speech.
Show thy marvellous loving kindness, O thou that savest by thy right hand, them which put their trust in thee, from those that rise up against them.
Keep me as the apple of thy eye, hide me under the shadow of thy wings.
From the wicked that oppress me, from my deadly enemies, who can compass me about?
They are enclosed in their own fat, with their mouth they speak proudly. They have now compassed us in our steps, they have set their eyes bowing down to the earth.
Like as a lion that is greedy of his prey, and as it were a young lion lurking in secret places.
Arise, O Lord, disappoint him, cast him down, deliver my soul from the wicked, which is thy sword.
For men which are thy hand, O Lord, for men of the world, which have their portion in this life, and whose belly thou fillest with the hid treasure. They are full of children, and leave the rest of their substance to their babes.
As for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness. Amen.
Thank you to our young people who took part in that Bible reading chain. There's some great truths in that psalm. Verse 8, there's a lovely image of the care and protection of God for his people. Keep me as the apple of thine eye, hide me under the shadow of thy wings. Let us come before the Lord in prayer. Let's pray that the Lord will be with us today as we broadcast this service, and that he will be one of our number and help each one who takes part. Our Heavenly Father, we come humbly and reverently into your presence this morning. We come before the one who is the creator of this world, the one who upholds all things by the power of his word. We thank you that we come before a God who is holy, one who is separate from sinners. And we realize that of our own selves, we have no approach to such a God as thee. But we thank you that you have provided a way of access for us. We thank you for our Savior, for the Lord Jesus Christ, for the Advocate, the one in whose name we can approach before you today. We thank you for the Savior who came to this earth, who lived a spotless life for us, and went about doing good. He healed the sick, he raised the dead, he brought sight to those who were blind, and yet, after those years of ministry, he was crucified upon a cross. But we thank you that he went there willingly. He came to this earth to die for the sins of his people. And on the merits of that precious sacrifice, we come before a holy God today. We thank you for this, the Lord's Day, this day that reminds us that our Savior is risen from the dead, this day that reminds us that he is alive forevermore, and this day that has been especially set aside for worship of our God. We thank you for this opportunity to be in the house of God today. Lord, we especially come before you this morning to bring the youth of our congregation before you. We thank you for each one of them. We thank you for their faithfulness in the things of God. We thank you for their attendance when able at the house of God. And Lord, we thank you even for their willingness to participate in the services today. And Lord, we pray that as the service is broadcast now, that you will bless each of our young people. Help them, Lord, in their daily walk with thee. Help them, Lord, as they at this time are unable to do other things. We pray that they will use the time wisely and that they will become closer to their God. Lord, we're not unmindful of the rest of the congregation. We think of the children of our church, for those in middle aged and for those who are seniors. We pray that each one will know the blessing of God upon them at this time. We thank you for keeping your hand of protection upon our church members over this time, and we pray that you will continue to bless and encourage them in the things of God. We remember our pastor today. We thank you for him. We thank you for his encouragement in the things of God, for the example that he is, even in the work of God. And we pray that you will continue to bless him. We thank you, Lord, even that today already he has been preaching your word, both to the congregation and to those in far-off lands. And we pray that those messages that have went forth will be messages that will not return unto thee void. We thank you that your word is sharp and powerful, and that it will pierce asunder into the hearts of men and women and boys and girls. We pray that there will be salvation wrought today because of the word of God that has went forth. So, Lord, we pray that you will remember our missionaries, those who have left this church to go to spread the gospel other places. We think today of our sister Noreen there in Uganda. We pray that you will bless her and the Fosters as they remain in the school there. We pray that you will help them as they go around doing practical things. But Lord, we pray that you will even help them to bring the gospel to those around them at this time. We think of our brother, the Reverend Hannah in Spain. We thank you for the opportunity we had to speak with him on Friday night with the young people. Bless him there as he continues to serve you in the land of Spain. And we think of Alex and Vanessa's parents there too. We pray that as the gospel is preached in that land today, that you will even save the unsaved. We also remember our brother Armin there in Greenville and Joshua in Bangor. Lord, young men who have left this congregation to take up the work of God in other places, we pray that you will bless them today around your word. And Lord, we think especially today of our brother Alex as he will bring the word later on. We pray that you will bless him, that you will fill him with the Spirit of God. Use him in the service of God today, and we pray that we will each be spoken to. Prepare our hearts to hear the words of God today, and we pray that this will be a blessed time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. It's a great blessing to know that a lot of our young people are saved, and they can testify to what the Lord has done in their lives. And it's a joy and encouragement to me to see them taking part in the Youth Challenge broadcasts online and on our Friday night meetings. This morning we have a testimony from one of our young men, and that's Chrissy Blair. Now, some people, whenever you ask them to do things, you sort of have to twist their arm a wee bit to get them to do it. But not with Chrissy. He's always very willing to take part in whatever way he can. So, Chrissy, I hope you're sitting at home on the sofa between Mum and Dad, ready to watch yourself on this recording.
Good afternoon, folks. I hope you're all keeping safe and well at this time. Today I've been asked by Youth Leader Samuel to just give a brief word of testimony on how the Lord has blessed me throughout my life. And if you have your Bibles handy, if you wouldn't mind turning to the book, or 2 Timothy chapter 3 and the verse 15, and it says, "And that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus." The majority of you already know me, but for those who don't, my name's Christopher Blair. But I'm more commonly known as Chrissy or Beatles Youngboy. My parents are Gina and Stephen Blair, but my father is usually known as Beatle. I grew up in a home where, when I was born, only one of my parents was saved. But my parents sent me to Sunday school, sent me to the Tuesday night meeting, sent me to church every week. I went through Sunday school without missing a day in 14 plus years, and I think my Sunday school teachers, especially in my younger years, deserve a medal, because as far as I know, I was a bit of a rocket, they put it in the least. But I grew up knowing that I needed to be saved, and it wasn't until the age of about 8, after a Tuesday night meeting where one of our elders, Jonathan McCauley, was speaking, that I went home, and that night I was scared that, you know, if I die, I was going to be in hell forever. And as it says in the book of Acts, the chapter 3 and the verse 19, "Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out." Now, being from the big city, which is Ballinamore, I attended Ballinamore Primary School, which, small country village, not too many pupils. It was all right, handy enough being a Christian there. But as I grew up, started in at Ballinamore High School, and I sort of went in there at the start and didn't tell anybody I was a Christian, and went in with other worries such as making the football team, etc., instead of taking a faith or a stand for my faith right at the start. But the Lord paved the way, and my friends found out I was Christian through one of my other friends sort of telling them during class one day. So school life was handy enough after that for a while, but in 2011 my family came under a bit of a hard time. One of my uncles was on life support machine for months on end, and it was extremely hard on my granny Dora and my mother at that time. At that time, they were travelling to Belfast every day. I didn't see much of them, and sort of routine had left my life, and it guided that I was getting away further from the Lord at this time. I stopped reading my Bible, I stopped just doing things what I should have been. But it wasn't until the following year, in January 2012, that I came back to the Lord. It was after a Sunday night service where the Reverend Park was speaking in Romans 3 and verse 23, which says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." And that text remained in my mind for the rest of that evening, and it scared me to the point that, you know, I realised I wasn't walking with the Lord the way I should have been. And again, I kneeled at my bedside that night and I prayed it for forgiveness. After I came back to the Lord, I obviously knew that I couldn't run around with the same boys at school, as they were being a bad influence on me at the time, and I sort of worried that, you know, I was going to be growing up with no friends at all. But the Lord paved the way. The week after, one of the boys who's in the church now, Joshua Ford, or JP, came up to me and invited me to his birthday party. Before that, I hadn't spoke to him, I hadn't spoke to Lewis McCauley, I hadn't spoke to Daniel Glenn. And previously, when I've given my testimony, I said they were a bunch of rare boys, and to be quite honest, I stick by that fact at this point. But I can't thank them enough for the influence they've been on my life. Without them, I could have went a completely and utterly different path. They encouraged me and got me to start coming to the fellowship, and I know with them I have friends for life, whether I like it or not, and they're sort of stuck with me now. But along with this year, there's also been other boys who have joined our group, and they're a great influence on me. Most of the time, the likes of the Ben and AJ, Jordan, Adam and William as well, and, you know, we're a tight bunch, you know, don't want to mess with us boys. Just at the point of talking about the Youth Fellowship, I'd like to thank our leader Samuel. You know, the Youth Fellowship is a great encouragement to myself. You know, without the youth, who knows what we'd be up to on a Friday night, and, you know, without the youth, there's no youth weekends, which are always a great encouragement. 2017 then, my granny Maud passed away. My granny was a great godly woman. She was one of the forming members of the Boys Brigade in Drumrea. She loved seeing nothing else than seeing her boys and then her grandsons coming up through the BB and receiving the highest reward, the Queen's Badge. I was the last one that granny seen receive the badge, and even at this time the Lord found a way to, you know, bless the family, and that was becoming and saving my own father out of the mission in Ballinamore that September. And, you know, it was just a blessing at that time. You know, you never know when the Lord's going to come, and just even the worst, you know, the trials and the tribulations, he comes and he's always in control. I'd just like to thank our own pastor at this time. He was a great help, even the family. He was more than a pastor, he was a friend at that point as well, and he was there for my father throughout it all, and when he was saved as well, it was brilliant. And then just last year there, I had the opportunity to become a member of the church, which I became a member with my mother and my father at the same time, plus some of the boys that I already mentioned. And, you know, it's something I'll always remember. It's going to be a memory for a lifetime. As well as this last year, I also had the chance to serve the Lord in the land of Romania for a short time. I recently spoke about this time in Romania in January at our missionary weekend, but to sum it up, we conducted a vocational Bible school with the sort of Roman Gypsy community in a town called Maltmanoa. These meetings were similar to the ones we have here in Ballymoney. The children sang choruses, they done quizzes, done memory verses, and a short Bible message at the end. As well as this, we also went out and visited the poor families around the area, bought food for them, bought washing machines for the Gypsy community, and this really touched my heart. It's something that, you know, I'm never going to forget and still lives long in the memory at this point, and it's just given me a greater burden for the land at this time and for the work further afield that our missionaries are doing every day. So where I'm at now in my life, at this point I've just completed my foundation degree in construction engineering management through the Ulster University. As well as this here, I also work to the National Health Service. I work in the Estates Department of it. Was based in the office, but due to this pandemic, I'm not sure if you've heard about it at all. I've been redeployed. I'm on the tools now, if you want to say. I'm just going around with different members of the trade staff, helping out where I can and about the Causeway Hospital. And the Lord's even blessed me in this way. He's given me numerous faithful Christian men to work with as well, including my father, which I don't know if that's a good thing working with him, to be honest. The Lord has also blessed me to be still a member of the Boys Brigade, and I am now an officer. So I don't know if I'm really one of the boys somebody that the boys should be looking up to, but try my best. But this lockdown, I think, has made us appreciate that, you know, church isn't just church on a Sunday. It's, you know, the times of fellowship after church, it's Sunday school, it's Tuesday night meetings, it's the fellowship even after a Thursday night prayer meeting, and if you're young enough, the fellowship a Friday night at youth, and I could even throw in at this point, you know, the fellowship that sometimes we have on a Wednesday night when us young boys teach the younger boys how to play a game of football. But till the time we can all meet again, I would like to send you all my best wishes. Stay safe. I'll see you when you're older. And I'll leave you just with the chorus from my favourite hymn, which is actually the BB hymn, and it says, "We have an anchor that keeps the soul steadfast and sure while the billows roll, fastened to the rock which cannot move, grounded firm and deep in the Saviour's love." Amen.
Thank you, Chrissy, for that clear and encouraging word of testimony. I don't know about you, but one of the things I really miss about church is the singing. And we missed that on a Friday night as well with the young people. We did try one night to sing over the internet, but it really didn't work very well. So unfortunately, we don't have a live choir for you tonight or this morning, but the best we could do was bring out an old recording. So we have one from October last year. And I trust you will enjoy listening to the youth choir singing "Jesus Saves."
Jesus.
Jesus saves. What a challenge that should be to all of us, to be willing to go into all the world and preach the gospel by whatever means available to us. Our pastor has recorded the announcements for us, and we're just going to play those in a few seconds, but I thought it would be appropriate for me just to give a quick word of appreciation to our pastor on behalf of the young people and probably on behalf of the whole congregation at this time. Anyone who has spent any time with him knows he's not a man to sit still for very long, and he has continued to seek out ways to serve both this congregation and further afield over the past number of months. His daily video broadcasts have been a great encouragement to us all, and they have reached worldwide, and only eternity will tell what they have done in the extension of God's kingdom. He's already preached this morning on the that small broadcast, and he's preached as well to a group in Pakistan. So on a day when he really should be having a day off, he's already preached twice. So preaching to an empty church isn't easy. I'm only seeing a little bit of it here this morning, what it's like to speak to an empty church. But we thank him for his labours, and we assure him of our prayers at this time. I know on a Friday night when the young people meet, we always finish with a time of prayer, and our pastor is top of the list on the hearts of the young people. So over to the Reverend Park now for the announcements which he recorded yesterday evening.
I'd like to bid you welcome to the House of God today as you join us for the services here at Hebron Free Presbyterian Church. Welcome in the Saviour's name. Perhaps you're listening in on sermon audio or on Facebook. We trust that you will be blessed as you join us today. This, of course, is the Youth Sunday of our congregation. On the first Sunday of June every year, our young people take part, the youth from our youth fellowship. And so we are delighted that our young people are participating in both of the services today. And we have two preachers from our own congregation, two young men who are studying in the Whitfield College of the Bible, Alejandro Bernabeu and Johnny Story. We look forward to listening to the Word of God this day as they preach it, pray for them, please. I'd like to make the announcements for the incoming week. Remember, on Tuesday night, it is the Youth Challenge. The children of our town and district and elsewhere can listen in on Tuesday night to the children's meeting at 7 o'clock. Thursday night is the midweek service. We continue with our studies in the Psalm 40. We pray that these messages will be a blessing and an encouragement to you. You're welcome to join us on Facebook and Sermon Audio. Friday night at 7 o'clock is the FPC Kids. This is going out from our mission board, Facebook. You're welcome to join us. Our youth fellowship is on Friday night at 8 o'clock. This is broadcast by Zoom. Our young people can join us through this means. And it is question and answer time. The young people have submitted very interesting questions. And there is a panel that will be giving the answers, God willing, on Friday night. Next Lord's Day, our broadcast will go out as usual. Do remember to join us for the Bible class at 11 o'clock and the Sunday school at the same time. And then our regular services as we preach the word in the will of God next Sabbath day at 12 noon and 7 p.m. Let me remind you that we are available to help those who are in need. Any of our seniors, the vulnerable of the congregation, those that are sick, myself, the home missioner, the office bearers of the church are standing ready to give whatever assistance in these days of COVID-19 that we can. Can I thank you for sending in your tithes and your offerings, your missionary support, your missionary covenant money, and all the other finances that you send in to keep the work of God going. Thank you in the Saviour's name. We want to acknowledge some missionary gifts that have come in. We received £20 for the work of Deborah House in Romania. We received £446 from various gifts which have come in to help the work in Pakistan, the poor and the needy there. And the contributions for the Indian orphans now stands at £11,240. I want to thank you in the Lord's great name for your kindness and your generosity. Please continue to pray for those who are on the front line in these days of coronavirus. From the National Health Service, we really appreciate the work that our doctors and nurses and medical staff do. Please remember also the sorrowing connected to the congregation, those that we know about, and those around the province who have lost loved ones in recent times. They're still very much upon our minds and our hearts. And then we want you to remember all the broadcasts that are going out on a weekly basis. Just uphold them before the Lord in prayer that the church will be a blessing to those who tune in. We think of our missionaries who are at home and abroad, especially those who labour under the mission board of the Free Presbyterian Church. And then in those other countries where we have contacts, we seek to remember them also at the throne of heavenly grace. Very soon the money will be in place to provide food for the orphans in India. And we ask you to remember this work among the orphans. Please remember the contacts that we have in the land of Pakistan. We do pray that God will guide us in these days as doors open and opportunities cross our paths. Remember Freya as she works among the poor of her country. And then also our sister Deep as she goes out into the remote areas and works with the tribal people of Pakistan. Thank you for tuning in today, and we trust that our Youth Sunday will be a blessing to you. I'd like to bid you welcome to the house of God today.
Thank you once again, Reverend Park. And just like in the normal services, there's always one announcement that is missed, and that is the Vision magazine. Now, a lot of people have received a copy of this on email. But we have the physical copies of it now at the church. So these have been set outside just at the link door. So if anyone wants to pick up one of those, they will be there this afternoon. I don't think there's going to be any rain today, so you can come and pick up your physical copy of it today. Usually at Youth Sunday, someone will report on our Youth Weekend about the antics that are got up to and about the services that we have there. Well, this year it didn't happen, so there isn't much to report on. But instead, we have a different report today. We have, perhaps you've been wondering what we've been doing in Youth Fellowship over the past 2 months. You might have heard the Reverend Park talking about Zoom, and you've wondered what are they doing anyway on a Friday night. Well, One of our committee members, Rebecca McCauley, is now going to tell us about youth in lockdown.
I'd like to just give a little report on what our youth has been doing since lockdown and how our meetings have continued since the lockdown started. So we have been meeting every Friday night at 8 p.m, same time as usual, on a video call app called Zoom. And so basically we can all see each other and we can all hear each other, and it is as close as we can get right now to actually fellowshipping together. So we're very blessed to still be able to continue fellowshipping. The meeting structure is just the same really as it always was. Samuel, our youth leader, usually opens in prayer, or else maybe one of the youth leaders, like Stephen or Jonathan, my dad, or even John Story, Ryan, someone will open in prayer. And then we'll have a sword drill. So someone in the youth will organise a sword drill, and there's always a little bit of debate, you know, with different internet connections over who got the sword drill first and that kind of thing. But it works really well, and as a committee we've been really excited to see how well it has worked, and it's great to see everybody participating as well. So after the sword drill we'll have a quiz. Before lockdown we were doing this as well, and maybe you'd remember that in the announcements we would be told that the youth had to read a particular book of the Bible, or maybe 3 or 4 chapters, and then on a Friday night we would have a quiz on them. We've been continuing to do this, so we still have a quiz on maybe 3 or 4 chapters of the Bible, and it's just been really, really good. It's a really good incentive to get the young people, I know I've definitely found it, to get the young people actually reading God's Word, because you know you're going to be quizzed on it, so you want to have the answers. And it's been really good. The way it's worked is really great. On the Zoom calls, we are able to select our answers, and we can see what percentage of the youth got the questions right, what percentage got it wrong, and go over all the answers together. So we have our sword drill, we have our quiz, and then we'll have our message. Some of our speakers have been perhaps slightly more familiar faces. We've had Jonathan Story, we've had Ryan, we've had my dad, Jonathan McCauley, we've had Samuel spoken, we've had Stephen Fletcher, we've had all of our youth leaders speaking, and that's been great. But we've also had some speakers from further afield, and I think maybe this is part of it that's actually sort of a blessing from this lockdown, is that we've been able to link in with our missionaries. So we've had Armin Tomassian speaking to us on this meeting, and we've also had Noreen speaking to us. I'm recording this now, but by the time Youth Sunday happens, we'll have had John Hannah speaking to us, God willing. And it's just really good to be able to link up with our missionaries and to be able to speak to them. We've even had Chris Killen speaking to us about the drug problems and how God can help drug addicts. And it's been really encouraging to be able to have so many different speakers who maybe we wouldn't have been able to invite physically to our youth meetings, but can now join with us. I know the messages are always a blessing to my heart, and I'm sure they are to many of the other youth members, and I'm so glad that we are able to continue meeting under God's word even in these strange times, and it is a blessing to be able to connect with those who maybe we don't get to hear from as often. And then in a few weeks we're also going to be having a question and answer night. So again, we weren't able to put a box in our youth fellowship room, so instead we allowed the youth members to anonymously submit questions online to the committee, and they're now going to be forwarded onto our very capable panel, and I'm really, really looking forward to these this question and answer night. It's going to be really, really helpful, I think. I have seen some of the questions just from passing them on to Samuel, and there are some real head scratchers, and I'm very excited to hear our panel answering them. And it's also great to see the youth really getting into God's word and asking these questions, and really thinking on God's word and really contemplating what God has to tell us and what he wants us to know. Another element of our youth has been the small groups. So every Wednesday night about 8 p.m, in different wee groups of maybe about 5 or 6, each youth leader will have a FaceTime call or maybe a Zoom call or some sort of video chat with a small group, and we will discuss the readings that are going to be on the quiz for the Friday. So I know I find these to be amazing, so good for helping us to really, really get into studying God's word on a regular basis. Samuel will give us notes to cover so that we can cover certain points and answer certain questions so that we can really get a good message out of every chapter. And we're very thankful to Samuel for doing that and for taking the time to do that. But I know that even just listening to other youth members and hearing how God's word has touched them and how it's convicted them and even how it relates to their lives at that time, it's really, really encouraging. The Bible tells us in 2 Timothy chapter 2 in the verse 15, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." And I think it is so important, especially as youth, that we do start studying the word of God and form these habits. And I do think that these small groups do hold us accountable to doing that, and it's been really, really good. In the last few weeks as well, on the Friday nights, Samuel has been asking particular groups that if each member could share their favourite verse. And this has been such a great opportunity. I know it's been a blessing for me to be able to hear some of maybe the younger ones sharing just their favourite verse and why they like it, even verses that maybe you wouldn't think about as much yourself, and just to be drawn to them for how they've helped other people is really, really encouraging. One final aspect that has been part of our youth that maybe you have seen on Facebook is our Bible chains. So these are the videos where one person will take a verse and read it, and then Samuel very kindly stitches it all together into one video. This has been great for just spreading the word, and especially at this time as a youth, we are definitely looking for ways to spread God's word during this pandemic, and this has been such a great way to do it. And I know a lot of youths and a lot of different churches across the country and across the world have been doing these little Bible chains, and it's a great idea. I think it really catches people's attention. I've really enjoyed watching them, and I've really enjoyed being part of one of them as well. It's great to get God's word out into the world and even onto social media sites, and especially at this time where maybe as a youth we would have been doing open airs, which obviously aren't possible right now. It's good to be able to find this other way to do outreach in the summer months. Finally, I'd just like to say that I've just been very blessed with the way that youth has been handled over lockdown. I was a bit worried whenever lockdown was first announced that it would affect things like youth fellowship, because it is something that I look forward to every Friday, and even just fellowshipping with other young believers is just so important for your walk. A lot of what we've been talking about in 1 and 2 Samuel regarding the life of David is how his different company affects how he walks with God. And I do think that Christian company is so important, especially at our age. And so it's been good to be able to continue this fellowship and not to lose out or not to miss out because of how the world is right now. And I'm just very thankful to the rest of the Youth Committee, and especially the youth leaders, for so faithfully organising everything every week and making sure that we can still continue to meet together as a youth fellowship. I'd like to just give a little report.
Thank you, Rebecca. Hopefully now you all have a bit more insight in what's going on in youth fellowship each week. In the background of our Bible reading chains that were broadcast on Facebook, you will hear an appropriate hymn being played on the piano. And the pianist for that is one of our young people, it's Rebecca Ray. So I thought that it would be nice for you, rather than just hearing her play, to be able to both see and hear her playing. So I asked Rebecca to record a short medley on the piano in here last week. So we're going over now to Rebecca on the piano. Seem to have a problem with that one. Okay, so we might have to do that tonight if that doesn't work this morning. It's a great blessing that we currently have three young men. Oh, is it going to work? It's going to work. Try it now. Thank you. Thank you, Rebecca. I'm glad we got that piece to work. And thank you for all your help in the both in the youth on a Friday night normally and also in the musical side of what we've been doing over the past few weeks. I trust you've enjoyed our young people taking part this morning. Ryan will be here to lead the meeting this evening. It's a great blessing that we have three young men from our congregation who are in Bible college at the moment, as well as Joshua, who has recently just graduated and been installed in Bangor. This morning, our speaker is Mr. Alejandro Bernabeu. Alex is in his final year in Bible college, and he feels the call of God and the leading of God back to his home country in Spain. He's been a member here of the congregation for a number of years, and we've grown to love our brother and his wife and children over that time. Just before Alex comes to preach, we have another Bible reading chain. We have young people reading from the chapter which he will be speaking from, and that's Isaiah chapter 40. And we have a number of the young ladies of our church who are going to read this passage from God's Word. And after that, our brother Alex will come and bring the message that God has laid upon his heart. Thank you.
Comfort ye, comfort ye, my people, saith your God. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem, and cry unto her, that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned, for she hath received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins.
The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God.
Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all the flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it.
The voice said, Cry, and he said, What shall I cry? All flesh is grass, and all the goodness thereof is as the flower of the field. The grass wherewith the flower fadeth, because the Spirit of the Lord bloweth upon it. Surely the people is grass. The grass wherewith the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever.
O Zion, that bringest good tidings, get thee up into the high mountains. O Jerusalem, that bringest good tidings, lift up thy voice with strength, lift it up. Be not afraid, say unto the cities of Judah, Behold your God.
Behold, the Lord God will come with strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him.
He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather his lambs with his arms, and carry them in his bosom. He shall gently lead those that are with young.
Who hath measured the waters in the hollow of his hand, and meted out heaven with the span, and comprehended the dust of the earth in a measure, and weighed the mountains in scales, and hills in a balance.
Who hath directed the Spirit of the Lord, or being his counsellor hath taught him?
With whom took he counsel, and who instructed him, and taught him in the path of judgment, and taught him knowledge, and showed to him the way of understanding? Behold, the nations are as a drop of a bucket, and are counted as the small dust of the balance. Behold, he taketh up the eyes as a very little thing.
Verse 25. To whom then will ye liken me, or shall I be equal, saith the Holy One? Lift up your eyes on high, and behold who hath created these things that bringeth out their hosts by number. He calleth them all by names, by the greatness of his might, for that he is strong in power, not one faileth.
Why sayest thou, O Jacob, and speakest, O Israel, My way is hid from the Lord, and my judgment is passed over from my God?
Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of his understanding.
He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might he increaseth strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall.
But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength.
They shall mount up with wings of eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint.
Good afternoon. It is good to be here with you this afternoon. And I want to thank the young people for reading this text, this passage. I want to thank also Samuel for this invitation to preach here this afternoon. And of course, I want to thank all of you, all the congregation, for your prayers, your support, and your help during these 4 years of college. And of course, during these 5.5 years that our family, that Vanessa and me, have been here, living here in Ballymoney. You have been like a family for us. And it is strange now to preach to an empty church this afternoon. It is also strange personally, as this is my last Youth Sunday before we will go back in the will of God to Spain. So please pray for us. I know you will. The plans at this moment is to return and move back to Spain in October. But of course, all this is in the will of God. And we will miss Ballymoney and the Church of Ballymoney a lot. But we are also excited and looking forward to what the Lord wants to do with us. And there in Cortijos Nuevos, where Pastor Lyle Boyd has served the Lord for so many years. So we will please ask you to pray for us, that the will of God will be done in every situation and in our moving there to Spain. If you could read again verses 28 to 31, if you have a Bible there at home, it would be great. So you can get your Bible and read these verses from verse 28 to verse 31. I'm going to read these verses again. Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increaseth strength. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. And they shall walk and not faint. 3 times in these verses we find the word weary. So the title of our message this morning is A Word to the Weary. A Word to the Weary. Let us pray. Our God and our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the salvation we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for the access we have now to thy presence through our Savior. And we thank you because you want to give us a word of comfort to the souls that are weary. We thank you, Lord, for being able to be in your house. Thank you, Lord, for your day. And thank you because even though your congregation, though the congregation here cannot be present, thank you because the word of God is not bound and the word is going forth. And we pray, O Lord, that you will help us and you will prepare our hearts to receive the word of God. O Lord, we pray, I pray personally that you will help me now. You know the nerves, you know the situation. O Father, be with us. Fill us with the Holy Spirit. And we pray, O Lord, for the congregation that is listening. We ask, O Lord, that you will touch the hearts, O Lord, that you will give them tender hearts of flesh, and not you will remove the heart of stone. And O Lord, that your word will penetrate and that your word will bear fruit. O Lord, we pray that the speaker will be the Holy Ghost this afternoon. We ask all these things in the precious name of Christ. Amen. More than half of the UK population has struggled with sleep during this lockdown, a survey has suggested. Of course, there are several reasons for this, but stress about the situation we're now facing is the main one. This has caused an increase in sleepiness and tiredness and weariness on many people. People are weary about the lockdown. We are weary about the restrictions. We are weary that we cannot see our relatives. We are weary because we cannot sleep. But we never think about weariness when we look at the flight of an eagle. We see the freedom of the eagle, its strength, its endurance, its resilience, how majestic it flies, how swift and fast it flies, how it can elevate itself to such heights. And then we compare it to ourselves here, locked down in our own homes. And of course, we are in some sense jealous. We wish, we would like to be and to have this kind of strength. And the passage that we have read brings comfort to the weary soul. It mentions weariness and also mentions the eagle. This chapter, chapter 40 of Isaiah, is a very important chapter in the book of Isaiah. We have 39 chapters in the book of Isaiah that generally they deal with sin and judgment. But then we come to this verse, verse 1 in Isaiah 40, that says, comfort ye, my people. And then we have, after that, 27 chapters in the book of Isaiah that deal with the comfort and with the promises of God. Israel needed this comfort. They had been attacked from their enemies on every side, and soon both kingdoms, north and south, would go into captivity. They were a weary people, and so they began a kind of pity party to describe their miserable condition. And we find that in verse 27. In verse 27, they're saying, "My way is hid from the Lord, and my judgment, my keys, is passed over from my God." They would say, "God can't see my ways. Archaeus is now out of his sight. He has forgotten about us. He doesn't care about us anymore. We have gone too far. We have sinned. He must be tired of dealing with us." They were weary, and they actually thought that God would be like them. And that's how the people of Israel felt. But perhaps you feel a bit like them. You maybe say, "God has other more important things to do than to think about me at this time. My way is hid from the Lord. He's tired of seeing me falling again and again." Or perhaps you are weary that God is not answering your prayer and you have asked again and again. You maybe think that God has forgotten about you. As old Jacob said, when he thought he would lose three sons, you say, "All these things are against me." Maybe you were already in one of your lowest moments. And if that wasn't enough, then the lockdown and the pandemic came, and you're weary. You are weary. Have you ever felt this way? You're not alone. In many ways, we all grow weary, and even more in this difficult time that we're going through right now. But in verses 28 to 31, we find a word to the weary. These verses, which are a kind of summary of the whole chapter, In these verses we find true comfort. God comes near to us and he wants to give comfort to his weary people. He wants to give comfort to his weary people. And first of all, in verse 28, we find here a word about God. Verse 28 starts by saying, "Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of his understanding." The word theology literally means a word about God. Theo means God, and logi or logos means word. A word about God. That's what we find in this verse. A word about God. We find true and great theology. The word theology today seems a daunting word for many young and older people. A very daunting word. But it shouldn't be like that. Many people say today, "Oh, I don't need theology. We don't need theology. We need to know how to live for God." But we can't know how to live for God if we don't know God himself. And theology is the knowledge of God. So the greatest theologian is not the one who can read or write the longest books, or the one who says things that nobody can understand, but the Christian who really and deeply and intimately and truly knows his God. It's not true that Daniel said, "The people that do know their God shall do exploits, shall be strong and do exploits." If you want comfort, you need to know your God. That's the reason that Isaiah tells the people of Judah in verse 9, in chapter 40, in verse 9, he says, "Behold your God." The greatest comfort is found by looking and beholding our God. And in verse 28, we find there his names. We find actually three names of our God. He is the everlasting God, eternal, the one who's forever and ever. He's the everlasting God of Abraham, the everlasting God of Isaac and Jacob and David and Isaiah and Elijah and Peter and John and Luther and Calvin and the God of our fathers. He is the God that has never changed. He is eternal. The world that you knew 3 months ago has drastically changed. But the God of 6,000 years ago is the same God today. comfort yourself, Christian, in that God is eternal. But he is also the Lord. And that's the name Jehovah, the name that means I am, the one who does not need anybody else to exist. He does not depend on anything. He's everlasting, he's eternal, but he's also totally independent. Also, this name Jehovah, this name the Lord, is a special name that God revealed to his own people. They would be his people, and he would be his God, a covenant God that has made a covenant with his own people. He is the Lord, but he's also the creator of the ends of the earth. In verse 12, we see also something about this, because verse 12 says, "Who hath measured the waters in the hollow of his hand, and meted out heaven with the span?" Isaiah uses here an illustration about God. Imagine for a moment that you could bring all the water from every ocean and river of this world. You could bring all that water together. You know how big that would be. Think about an oil tanker. You would need 37,000 trillions of oil tankers to hold all that water. And you know what? God can hold all that water in the hollow of his hand. Imagine also, you could measure the distance between the two farthest points of the universe. Scientists could never do that, but imagine that they could. God can measure that distance with the span of his hand. And of course, this is only an illustration, because our God is even bigger. He's infinite. He's a lot bigger than even this. We as humans, we can design and manufacture things, but we can't even begin to create anything. But God is the creator of the ends of the universe. Do you know this God, my friend? Do you know this God? Or is your God one who depends upon circumstances? One that you have created from your imagination? We also see his power in this verse, because it says that this God fainteth not, neither is weary. In verse 10, we have, again, something about this. In verse 10, we read the word behold. Again, the same word that we find in verse 9. And it tells us that we can behold here the power of God, because it says, "Behold, the Lord God will come with strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him. Again, behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him." The same hand that measures the universe, the same hand that can have all the water from the oceans in the hollow of his hand, the same hand is a strong hand. God is not restrained by anything. This means that he rules forever, his throne is forever and ever. He's a powerful God who's always at work. His work is before him. As we see in verse 10, he's not weary while we are. While we faint, he doesn't. Perhaps we sometimes think that God is like us. He's not. He's the mighty, strong, powerful God who's always at work. Many of you have stopped now your work for weeks or perhaps months, but God hasn't. There is no furlough with God. He works all things after the counsel of his own will. Jesus Christ spoke about this in John 5:17 when he said, "My Father worketh hitherto, and I work." The greatest way to see the power of God, of course, it's to look at the work of the cross. Christ purchased the salvation of all his people at the cross. And what a work that is. He fainted not, but accomplished it. And on the third day he rose again. And today he lives in the power of an endless life. We must behold the power of our God. We must behold the power of our God if we are to receive any comfort. But we also see his wisdom. Because verse 28 says, at the end, there is no searching of his understanding. Again, go back with me to verse 13 and verse 14 that speak of the same thing, of his wisdom. Those verses say, "Who had directed the Spirit of the Lord, or being his counselor, had taught him? With whom took he counsel, and who instructed him, and taught him in the path of judgment, and taught him knowledge, and showed to him the way of understanding?" These questions are what we call rhetorical questions. The answer is obvious. Nobody. Who can teach the Lord? Nobody can. Romans 11, 33 and 34 speak of the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. And then we find again these kind of questions. For who hath known the mind of the Lord? Nobody. Or who hath been his counselor? Nobody. There is no searching of God's understanding. God's understanding is unlimited, is infinite. Our understanding is small, is limited. But still, sadly, so many times we lean upon our understanding, upon what we think is right and not what the Bible says is right. We think that we know better than God. We look to ourselves, we look to our problems, and we think we have the right to ask God, why is this coming to my life, or the reason for things. And how mistaken we are. There is no searching of God's understanding. My friend, brother or sister, in a time like this, the Christian needs to behold his God. He needs to focus not on the power of politics, no, not on the fickleness of philosophies, not on the confusion of conspiracies, but on the truths of theology. We are called to behold our God, to behold the majestic names of our God that we have seen, to behold the unfailing power of our God, to behold the unsearchable and unexplainable wisdom of God. And finally, to behold the Lamb of God who taketh away the sin of this world. That's what we must behold. And as Hebrews 12:3 says, to consider Christ, to consider him. Christ is the one in whose name there is salvation. Christ is the one who is the wisdom and the power of God. To consider Christ, who endures such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Are you weary? Are you faint? Consider Christ. Behold your God. That's what will give you true comfort in your soul. And the question is here in this verse for you. Hast thou not known? Hast thou not known? Do you not know these things? Hast thou not heard? Have you not heard these things? Perhaps you have been in this church, or you have been listening to the gospel for 20, 30, 40, or 50, or even 60 years. But still, when times like this comes to us, we still don't know where to turn. We must behold our God. There's a word here about our God. But secondly, there's a word about our weakness. A word about our weakness. In verse 30, we read, even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. Israel was facing enemies on every side. The Assyrians were attacking them, and soon the Babylonians would come to, and they would be taken into captivity. They were weak, their armies were weak, and even their best young men were fainting and weary. And one day they would utterly fall. But the people of Israel had their hope on these young men, on these young people, a brilliant generation. But sadly, this generation would be the first one to go into captivity into Babylon. You could think of Daniel and his three young friends who went into captivity. But in the eyes of God, weakness is something common to every person and nation. Every person and nation. Turn with me to verse 15. Verse 15, and again we see the use of the word behold twice here. We have beheld God, and now we behold mankind. It says there in verse 15, behold, the nations are as a drop of a bucket, and are counted as the small dust of the balance. Behold, he taketh up the isles as a very little thing. Humanity is weak. Mankind is as small and as insignificant drop of water. Our weight in history is like the weight of the small dust in the scales. Our big countries and big continents are a very little thing. We are weak. And if this pandemic has taught us anything regarding ourselves, is that we are very, very weak. And in verse 30, we read about weakness. We read about fainting, actually, firstly, and being weary. Verse 30 says, even the youth shall faint and be weary. God fainteth not, neither is weary, as we read in verse 28, but we are weary. Even the youths are weary. We usually associate a young age with energy and enthusiasm. Of course, I have learned this pandemic and this lockdown, because our two young girls, Abby and Ellie, have decided to get up every day at 6:30 every day, full of energy and full of beams. And I sometimes wish they were a bit more wearied and gave us some more rest, but that's what it is. And youth is a beautiful time. It's a beautiful age and a promising age full of energy. There's even an old saying that perhaps some of you will know that says that youth or somebody is in the flower of their youth. In the flower of their youth. What beauty there is in youth. But even the young ones, as it says here, shall faint. Even the flowers shall fade. Turn with me to verse 7 and verse 8. Isaiah deals with that too. Verse 7 and 8. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, because the Spirit of the Lord bloweth upon it. Surely the people is grass. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. Young people, do not base your life on the beauties of youth, because they will fade very soon. Base your life on the word of God that shall stand forever and ever. As we have seen, humanity is weak at every age, at every level. I remember in the summer of 2006, I was watching the Tour of France. Maybe some of you like cycling and you like to watch the Tour of France. I think there will be no Tour of France this year. But on that year, in 2006, American cyclist Floyd Landis was the leader as they reached stage 16. He had good chances of winning that tour. However, as I was watching stage 16, they began to climb the mountain, Floyd Landis began to struggle, to faint, to be weary, and he couldn't follow the pace of the other ones. He lost as much as 8 minutes in that stage, which meant that it was now almost impossible for him to win the tour. But the next day, in stage 17, Landis launched an attack very early and began to distance himself from the main group. And he was riding spectacularly fast. He won that stage with a massive difference, which permitted him at the end to win the Tour of France. I was actually amazed to what I had witnessed. And it would have been one of the greatest comebacks in the history of cycling, if it wasn't because he had cheated. Only a few days later, it was discovered that on stage 17, Floyd Landis had taken illegal drugs to win that stage, so he was disqualified and the title was removed from him. On stage 16, the world saw the weakness of the human body. And on stage 17, the world saw the weakness of the human heart and soul. We are weak. We are weak. But secondly, in verse 30, we read about falling. Verse 30 says, young men shall utterly fall. Flowers not only fade, but ultimately they fall down. And as I think of this phrase, that young men shall utterly fall, I cannot but think of all those young people who grew up with me in the church, but they grew weary. And today, in our eyes, they have utterly fallen. As the song goes, where have all the flowers gone? We say, where have all these young men and young women gone? How many have fallen? The Apostle Paul didn't want his young spiritual son, Timothy, to fall away. He didn't want him to fall. So he prayed for him and he warned him about falling into condemnation of the devil, into the snare of the devil, falling into reproach, falling into temptation. Even in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, the Apostle Paul said, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. Young person, do you think you're standing? Take heed lest you fall. Perhaps I'm speaking to someone today who has fallen. You were brought up in the gospel, you knew all about it, but you have left the faith. You have left the church. You're now in the world with no desires for God. Nobody else knows. But in this pandemic, you have been thinking about your life and about your death. You have been thinking about salvation. My friend, I want to tell you there is hope for you. There is hope for you. The Lord Jesus Christ delights in lifting up those that have fallen. My friend, there's hope for you in the gospel. And we cry to God for your soul. This church is a church that cries for the souls of those that have fallen. And we pray that you will return and come to the Lord Jesus Christ. But perhaps I'm speaking to someone also who has grown weary. Someone who has been tempted to fall now by the wayside. You are weary of fighting against sin. You are weary. You are weary. You are tired of praying. You are tired of reading. You're tired of not receiving an answer. You're weary of the lockdown. You're weary of the restriction. You're weary of the Christian life itself. And you're ready to give up. You may be weak. You may be faint. But do not give up, because your God knows all about it. You must recognize your weakness, your weariness, and cry to God. Because He gives power to the faint. And He gives strength to those that have no might. If we are to receive comfort and strength, we must recognize our weaknesses. Jesus Christ said, "They that behold need not a physician, but they that are sick." There's no comfort whatsoever for the self-reliant soul, for the self-sufficient and self-confident soul. No. Do you want perfect strength, the perfect strength of God? Then you need to realize your weakness and come to your God. Tell God you are weak. As Paul did in 2 Corinthians 12, and God replied to him by saying, "My grace is sufficient for thee." And then he said, "For my strength is made perfect in weakness." Oh, recognize your weakness and come to your God. There's a word here about our weakness. But finally, there's a word about our strength in verse 31. There's a word for the weary soul in this passage, and especially in this last verse. The Lord, who's not weary, wants to give to those that are weary new strength. That's the comfort. God's strength can be yours by His Spirit. And what a promise this is. But there is a condition. It's a conditional promise. And the condition is that it's only those that wait upon the Lord who shall renew their strength. But perhaps you ask, what does it mean to wait upon the Lord? To wait means to be in expectance. An expectation or readiness to look for with an eager expectation. Biblically, to wait upon God is to have a complete dependence upon God. It is to trust, to hope, to rest upon the Lord. Waiting is basic in the Christian life. We were saved in the moment when we finally waited upon the Lord Jesus Christ and for Him for salvation, and we rejected our own works as a way of salvation. We waited upon Christ. We trusted in Him, on His life and death, as He saves us from our sins, and that He died to save us. But then in the Christian life, we continue to wait. A.W. Tozer, an author that I really recommend for young people, he writes about this, and he says, "As children of God, we can always afford to wait. A saint of God does not have to be concerned about time when he's in the will of God. It is the sinner who has no time. He has to hurry or he will go to hell. But the Christian has an eternity of blessedness before him." We can afford to wait. We must wait. We wait as we pray to God. We wait as we seek His will. But don't get me wrong. Waiting upon the Lord is not a passive action. It is totally active. Waiting upon God doesn't mean that I sit back and I wait until I see the will of God for my life written in the clouds and in heaven. No, no. Turn with me to Psalm 123, verse 2. Psalm 123, verse 2. Here we see the other meaning and the other aspect of the word to wait. Psalm 123, verse 2 says, "Behold, as the eyes of servants look unto the hand of their masters, and as the eyes of a maiden unto the hand of her mistress, so our eyes wait upon the Lord our God until that He have mercy upon us." Of course, the servant is active as he humbly waits upon his master. Many of you have been waiting for weeks, I'm sure, until the day that your favorite restaurant and the North Coast is open again, and you're able to go again to your favorite restaurant and enter. And I'm sure as you enter, you will find waiters and waitresses waiting to receive you. People, these are people who will wait upon your orders to fulfill them. And that's what the word wait means. That is to wait upon the Lord. We are waiters and waitresses of God. A waiter does not sit back or he will be fired. No, a waiter receives the order and serves the order. Waiting and working go together. Waiting upon God is not only to rest and to trust and to hope in the Lord, but to serve Him with all that we have. Are you waiting upon the Lord? Are you waiting upon the Lord? This world is actually an enemy of waiting, even more in our generation. This world says, why would you wait if you can have it right now? Why would you wait? You want to buy something, but this world says, don't wait to buy that item, says the world. You can have it right now. You can buy it and purchase it right now, of course. You will have to get a credit for it, but do it right now. At work, don't wait upon the Lord for a promotion, says the world. Promote yourself above others and you will get that promotion right now. When somebody offends you, says the world, don't wait upon the Lord. Get it off your chest and give them a bit of your mind right now. Young person who's in a relationship, the world says to you, don't wait till you get married to experience physical pleasure. You can have it right now. But the Bible says that we must wait upon the Lord. Only those that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Are you waiting upon the Lord? If you are, there's a word of comfort here for you. Because those that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. The word renew also means to change. Those that wait upon the Lord shall change their strength. That means that no more we are trusting in our own strength, in our own old failing strength, but now we take that off, we put that off, and we put on the strength of God, the powerful strength of God Himself. Isaiah, in the next chapter, chapter 41, verse 10, a verse that many of you will know, says, God says to His people, I am thy God. I am that God. I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. He will strengthen us. I will help thee. I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. And who is the right hand of His righteousness but the Lord Jesus Christ? He is our strength. We can do all things through Jesus Christ who loves us. God has an infinite source of power and strength. And He gives new strength in Jesus Christ to all those that wait upon Him. But what is this strength for, perhaps you ask? Why do I need all this strength? It is strength to mount up with wings as eagles, as we read in that verse. It is strength to run. It's strength to run and not to be weary. It is strength to walk and not faint. And as you see, there's an order here from something impossible for us, like flying, mounting up with wings as eagles, to something difficult, like running, to then something relatively normal, like walking. God will supply the needed strength to meet every test and every situation. Sometimes we encounter barriers and circumstances that are impossible for us to surmount, where the only way is to mount up with wings as eagles. And God promises that He will give us that. God promises to give us eagle wings. Sometimes we encounter circumstances, difficult circumstances, where we must run. Run away from temptation like Joseph, run with the gospel like Philip, went to the eunuch, run the Christian life as Paul did. And God says, you will run and not be weary. God gives that promise to us. But I believe when we mostly need God's strength is in our everyday walking with God. To walk with God and not to faint. We need endurance. Sometimes this is the most difficult, to patiently live for God in the basic and the normal and the daily things of life. That's what really will make the difference in your life. Enoch, he walked with God. Noah, he walked with God. Will it be said of our life that we walk with God? What a comfort we have here. What a promise we have here. If we wait upon Him, we will walk and not faint. He will change our strength. He will give us the strength that's only found in Jesus Christ. He will renew our strength. My friend, perhaps you're weary. There's a word of comfort to the weary soul here. We have seen a word about God. He is the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, who fainteth not, neither is weary. There's no searching of His understanding. There's a word also of our weakness. We are weak. Even the youths shall faint and be weary. The young men shall utterly fall. But there is a word of our, a word about our strength. Because those that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagle. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Are we getting our strength from the Lord? Are we waiting upon the Lord? I hope we are. Hope we think about these things. And our souls are encouraged and comforted by the word of God today. Let us pray. Before we pray, if you want to speak to any of people here in the congregation, to Mr. Park or to Samuel or to any of the elders, please, please do. And don't, if you need to come to the Lord Jesus Christ, if you are concerned about spiritual matters, don't leave it for tomorrow. Come to Christ today. Today is a day of salvation. Today is the acceptable time. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for thy word. Father, we thank you for this word of comfort and encouragement for the weary soul. That those that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Oh, Father, we are weak. Humanity is weak at every level, at every age. We are weak. But we thank you, Lord, because Christ gives us new strength. We can do all things through Jesus Christ that strengthens us. We thank you, Lord, for our Savior. And we pray, O Lord, if there's somebody listening in today that doesn't know the Lord Jesus Christ, oh, Father, that they will come. Perhaps they have heard the gospel many times. Perhaps they were brought up in a Christian family. But they're not your children. They're away in the world. Oh, Lord, bring them in again. Bring them in to yourself. Bring them in to Jesus Christ. Oh, Father, work in their hearts. I pray that they will come. We cry for their souls. And Father, we pray for your people who perhaps are weary at this time. Oh Lord, let them find their strength in Jesus Christ. Let them find this strength that comes from thee alone. Let them not get their strength from the world. That's not strength at all. But that they will find and renew their strength in Jesus Christ and in thee. Oh Father, we know that your strength will be enough for every situation. Help us to cry and to wait upon the Lord. To wait upon thee. We thank you, Father, for thy word. We thank you for everything that has been taken place today. We ask all these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you for listening.